If you're happy to be here, say amen.
Amen.
Thank you once again for being here. You will never guess what book of the Bible I'll be preaching from. Book of Acts, chapter 22. I want to ask you, if you would, to look at just a couple of verses out of the text that we read last week. And I want to preach to you under the title, To Be a Witness. To Be a Witness. Acts, chapter 22. Verse 15, just two verses. For you will be his witness to all men and what you have seen and heard. And now, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And the people said,
amen.
You may be seated. Thank you again for standing in honor of the reading of God's holy word. I have witnessed to folks before, and they would say to me, there are just too many rules and regulations that you have to follow to be a Christian. I talk to them about conviction and what God convicts you of and how you ought to live your life after that conviction. If God convicts you of something and says to you, you ought not do that, then by all means do it. Don't do it. If God convicts you to do something, by all means do it. To be a witness. I guess we could say the Bible has a lot of things that you and I are supposed to do as Christian people. Been a time or two, I would see things in the Word and I'd go, oh my, wasn't sure I could do that. And I'll be honest with you, there's some things I'm yet to do. Because some things I don't fully get a grasp of, but when God's ready, he'll reveal to me what I need to know and I will obey him. But there's all kinds of things in Scripture. I suppose we could start with the Ten Commandments, couldn't we? A lot of folks have the Ten Commandments on the wall of their house. They hadn't read it in years. A lot of people have it marked in their Bible. They hadn't read it in years. The Ten Commandments, have no other gods before me. Boy, if there's ever been a riveting word, that's today. Have no other gods before me. Make no idols. I'm going to watch American Idol tonight. But I'm not going to idolize that person and put that person or that thing or that object between me and God. Make no idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Amen. Boy, if you wanted to get slapped on the lips, you just said something crooked around my mama. I'm talking about open hand pop. Say, well, she'd go to jail today. They'd both go to jail. Trust me, I'd have been raised an orphan. If you use God's name in vain or even act like you might, I mean, there were things that I thought were pretty good and mom said, and I just wouldn't say them. After I grew up a little bit, I learned it. She didn't quit slapping even when I was grown or nearly grown. Remember the Sabbath. Thank you. Thank you to those of you here today. Thank you for remembering the Sabbath. Remember this holy day. And the Bible says, keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, bear false witness against your neighbor, and do not covet. People say, well, that's just too much. Oh, that's not really it. That is, but there's something that's got to happen before you can get there. I like it that one day a Pharisee, you know who the Pharisees were? They were against Jesus before they even knew Jesus. They just knew something, someone was coming, and they were against it. Because they were all about the law and all about the old way. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And one day, you'll remember, one of those Pharisees asked Jesus this question. He said, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? You remember what Jesus said? Matthew records it for us in Matthew chapter 22. Jesus said to him, to that Pharisee, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said, that is the first and great commandment. So, Lord, what about the Ten Commandments? Chances are good, you'll never keep the Ten Commandments till you fall in love with God. And when you fall in love with God through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit empowers you, now you'll be interested in the Ten Commandments. There's something else that the Bible says we've got to do. Jesus went so far that day as to say, love your neighbor as yourself, oh Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then, after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he's about to ascend into the heavens. there's that little group of disciples and whomever else might have been gathered there that day as he begins to ascend into heaven. And he says to that group, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. We tend to place importance on the last words that people make, last statements. Have you ever gone to the web and looked up TDCJ inmate that were executed and look at the last words they have to say? You ever done that? Now, don't you do it now. You do it later. Put that device up. We get interested in the last, it's amazing to me some of the last words some of those people have before they're executed. Okay, Warden, let's go. Boy, listen, I'm still going to be talking. If they had started me in January, I'd still be talking today. They say, last words, not last life. We get interested in what people say, the last words they speak. Last words I heard my brother speak from behind a mask was home. I want to go home. And today he's there and I'm mad at him because I'm guessing at everything I'm going to say to you today, and he knows fully. We place a lot of importance on the things that people say and the last words they say. Jesus spoke some last words on earth. When he spoke those last words on earth, he said one thing, be witnesses. So every one of us in this building, starting with my wife, Micah, and all the way over here to this side, to Travis, every one of us in this building have an obligation to mind what the Lord said. Jesus said, be my witness. It's a mandate that you and I must surrender to. Jesus then tells those that he's speaking to that day that are going to be his witnesses. He says there's going to be a power source that's coming, and that power source will be the Holy Spirit. Now, in the text that I read, the two verses of text that I read to you, let's kind of get an idea about what's happening. Paul is retelling the events of Acts chapter 9. So he's been asked, he's pushed into a corner maybe, and he retells the events of Acts chapter 9, and he does it in kind of a snapshot fashion here in the chapter that we read to you, and those two verses I read to you come from that time when Paul was speaking the words that really happened back in Acts chapter 9. In our text, as Paul retells that message, or better yet, as he speaks about what God had done in his life, he's given a charge. And the charge that he's given was to be a witness. Now, I want you to see something. It wasn't a choice. People say, well, I just can't witness. Yes, you can. If Jesus Christ is coming to your heart, yes, you can. Because you know the vast difference that Jesus makes, and all you got to do is tell about that difference. Maybe you won't win them to the Lord. Maybe you won't even get the words out right, but trust me, if the Holy Spirit empowers you, he will speak through you, and the hearer will get it. Whether it's straight or not, you just try it. I dare you, try it. I'm going to dare you at the end of this service. It wasn't a choice for Paul. He was just told, you're going to be my witness. There's no indication, listen to this, there's no indication that Paul had an opportunity to go out and take Roman road training. He couldn't attend church on Sunday and go down and tell his pastor, I think the Lord's calling me to witness. He couldn't go to seminary and learn how to do it. He couldn't go to any clinic or any school and learn how to do it. He was called immediately to go out and share. What do I share? We'll get to that. But here's Paul recounting the events of his life. And I want you to note something. That word, you will be a witness, is an emphatic term. You will. It's not a choice in the matter. It's not study up and learn. It's you will be a witness for me. I believe our charge that you and I have today is the same as Paul's was in Acts chapter 9 and the same one he tells about here in Acts chapter 22. We are charged to be witnesses. The Bible says you will be a witness. So I think it's a fair question. What does it look like? What does that look like, Paul? What does that look like, Lord? What does that look like, Holy Spirit? Father, tell me, what does it look like to be a witness? Paul, at this juncture in Acts, as I said, is recalling that charge, that command that he was given, and Jesus Christ gave that command to him, and to you and I, it's the same. If we think back on what we've seen and what we've journeyed through in the book of Acts, I know you have to think back 5 years, But you think about what we've seen in the book of Acts and the journey that we've taken and the foundation New Testament church that we've seen here, we can clearly see that Paul did witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? There may have never been a greater witness than Paul. Somebody said he's the greatest human being that ever lived. I take a little exception to that because he was God and he was man, Jesus was. And so I give Paul seconds there. Paul was a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't ashamed to tell folks about Jesus. He held nothing back. Think about him. He held nothing back. He shared immediately when he came into contact with somebody about Jesus Christ. And friends, we are to witness without reservation. Don't hold anything back. Go ahead and tell them where you came from. Tell them what happened in your life. Tell them when Jesus came into your life. Look back over Paul's life. We can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that here's a guy, an example for us in Scripture, Paul, who beyond a shadow of a doubt would share Jesus without any reservation. I think sometimes, I don't know for sure, but Jim, I think sometimes that Paul's mouth and getting geared for his brain ever did, because he'd say things to people, he just didn't care. He wanted to be sure that they understood and knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's important that you and I operate in the same fashion. We are to share Jesus without reservation, without fear. Without fear or reservation, for he who is in us. Oh, my soul. He who is in us. Do you know that verse? He who is in us, he who has empowered us, he, the Holy Spirit living in me, he, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, God the Father who has called me and sent me, is greater than, he's greater than Iran, he's greater than Israel, he's greater than Biden, he's greater than everything, he's God. Amen. And he has so empowered us to be witnesses. Why would we be afraid? Why would we be afraid when God has empowered us? We are to hold nothing back. We must tell the story, and we got to tell it over and over and over again. So Christians, that's us. That's those of us who know Christ. I'm not talking about preachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons and leaders. I'm talking about every one of us, from me to you to all the way back to the front, no matter who you are, where you are, if your name is on the roll or not, if you know Christ, you have this mandate to be a witness. Tell the old story. We're to witness to any and all who will listen. We're to witness without fear. Don't be scared. I'll talk about that more as we move along. Jesus has charged us to witness. Jesus will stand with us when we do. And as we witness of him, the mighty to save, remember, he who is in me. Some of y'all going to go out there unarmed. You're going to have your pistol and not have any rounds for it. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. No matter what comes, we have to keep that charge to be a witness. No matter if it's unpopular or not. No matter if where you are, it's not allowed. Let me tell you something. Try that name Jesus somewhere where people don't expect it. You think E.F. Hutton can quieten a place down? Jesus can quieten a place down real quick. Try it. I challenge you. Give it a try. Just use that name. Use that powerful name of Jesus. He will stand with us. He will guide us. No matter what comes, we still have the charge to be a witness. Don't be discouraged. I talk to Christian people sometimes, but I'm just going to be honest with you. They kind of make me sick. Oh, I've just been out there witnessing it, telling everybody about Jesus. Nobody listens. Tell them. I don't care if you think they're listening or not. When you mention the name Jesus, it's like saying Mama got there. Boy, me and Glenn being a mess, Mama come home, we was all right. Jesus is with you. Share the word. Keep that charge. Keep the faith. Don't be discouraged in what you're doing. You just go out there and plant the seed. Don't worry about it. It'll be watered. It'll be harvested down the road. If God so intends, your job is to plant the seed. I have a box garden I got four or five boxes as long as from here to that plant over there. Man, I got taters, potatoes for those of you in the city. I got taters, and I got tomatoes, and I got green beans. I planted my green beans, and I tried to plant them alongside about the same time I planted the potatoes, taters. And some of my green beans didn't come up. That doesn't worry me. I went and got more and planted them. Plant the seed. Plant the seed. It doesn't matter to you if it comes up or not. If it doesn't come up and you see it doesn't come up, share Jesus again. Don't be afraid to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be discouraged. Keep the faith. Keep on telling the story. You know, I think about Paul, and I think about what I know about his life. We liable to go and spend some time in 1 Corinthians when we're done with Acts, should we ever finish. But I was reading the other day and just kind of going through Scripture, and I love what Paul talked about. And listen, Paul challenges us here in the book of Acts, and he challenges us throughout the New Testament writings that he's part of. And it seems to me that nothing slowed Paul down. I mean, the least little thing can get us, right? Amen? Amen? Yeah, some of y'all lying through your teeth. You don't want to admit that. The least little thing can knock us off track. I'm going to tell you right now, I got up this morning, and I don't mean to be disrespectful anyway, but I got up this morning, I told my wife, I said, honey, I think I got muscular dystrophy. We split about two cords of wood at my house. You ought to see my legs. I got to go to the dermatologist next week, and I'm worried about what she's going to think happened to me. Not only did I split a bunch of wood, I picked a bunch of blackberries. You can tell a country boy, this finger's purple, because I've been picking berries. I got up this morning, I hurt so bad, I thought, oh, Lord, if I was just a member, I'd stay home. Remind me of that fellow that got up that morning, Brother Cliff, and he told his wife, he said, I ain't going. She said, what do you mean you're not going? He said, I'm just not going today. She said, why aren't you going? What's wrong with you? You're 44 years old. You got to go. You can't just get up and say you're not going. You got to go. He said, why do I have to go? He said, because you're the pastor and they're expecting you to be there. Boy, I can see all kinds of mealy-mouthed excuses why people can't. Let me ask you to turn those can'ts into can. Don't be discouraged. Keep the faith. Never slow down. Paul never slowed down. In Corinthians, he talked about it, and he listed that things to be a witness. He listed those things that he endured for the sake of being a witness, and it recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read that later. Paul said he was beaten, imprisoned, shipwrecked, shunned, imprisoned, naked, hungry, thirsty, and he goes on and on and on, and he finally says it was all for the sake of the gospel. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Just share. And if Paul were standing right here beside me today, you know what he'd say? Don't stop sharing Jesus. He may be bearing the scars from the beatings. And he probably even got a place where a snake bit him, remember? He shook it off and kept on going. If the snake bites you, shake it off and keep going. Look what God wants to do in your life. He wants to help you share his son. If we keep the charge, friends, no matter what happens, Jesus will never leave you or forsake you. Amen. He'll be right by your side. You've heard this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because three quarters of you hadn't heard it. When I pastored the church in Richards, I've only pastored two churches in my illustrious 40-some-odd years. When I pastored the church in Richards, this young child, 7, 8 years old, came and she was saved, and I baptized her. She went home and told her sisters about Jesus. This is how it all worked. And within a few weeks, I baptized both of her sisters. Well, those daughters got to going home telling Mama, and Mama said, you know what? If it's good enough for my kids, it's good enough for me. And she came to receive Christ. I baptized her. Amen. They all went home and teamed up on Daddy, and Daddy, when I pulled in the driveway, it was a long driveway. I'd pull in the driveway, I'd see Daddy go to the back pasture. He didn't want no part of me. I would still go there, and I would share the gospel with them, and they'd share the gospel with their daddy. And boy, let me tell you something. If ever a man hated a preacher, he hated me. Some of y'all may not like me. This guy hated me. He didn't want me on his property. And I think had it not been for those women in his life, you know, it's tough when a man lives with one woman, this guy lived with four. My wife didn't laugh. He lived with four. And they were hammering him about Jesus. He wanted no part of it. I left Richards. He never got saved. You know the rest of the story? How many of you know the rest of the story? That's not enough. I'm over here in that little building, the smallest sanctuary building over here. And we're having a work day. And we'd scooted all the little short pews we got by that time out of the way. Man, we had casseroles and, you know, all kinds of Baptist stuff out there. That's why I look like I do, because of casseroles. Everybody wants you to try theirs, right? We scooted everything out of the way, and the kitchen over there was about the floor where you go through into the cabin over there. That little area was the kitchen. Imagine that compared to what we have today. And I was way back there in the kitchen, and the door opened in the front. We didn't have the glass doors. We were just solid doors. The door opened. There was just this bright light, and I really couldn't see who was there. And the more I looked, the more I realized this dude didn't like me. And not only does he not like me, now he showed up in Huntsville, and I've been over here a long time now, and he gets about halfway down the aisle, I realize it's him. I thought, oh, my soul. So you know what I did? I left all them other Baptists in that kitchen. I thought, I'm going to meet this dude halfway. If he's going to knock me out, he's going to knock me out by myself. I get down in his face, and the minute I get to his face, I call his name, and I said, I don't know if I said, how are you doing or what are you doing? I'm not sure. I think I said, what are you doing? Maybe I said, how are you doing? And this mean, hateful, leave the house every time I came and stood there in the middle of that aisle, that old villain began to kind of tremble and shake and tears running down his face. He said, preacher, I had to tell you, Friday night, this was Saturday morning. He said, Friday night, last night in a revival, I accepted Jesus, and I want you to know it's because you kept sharing Jesus with me and you weren't afraid. You say, oh, Rick, pat your back. No, listen. If God can use me, he can use you to tell somebody about Christ. That man accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, got on fire for Christ. Keep planting the seeds. It's our charge. No matter what happens, Jesus will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So, if I am to be a witness, we are to be witnesses. If I am to be a witness, what do I say? Now, here's that uh-oh moment in a sermon. I want you to leave here with this. If you hadn't heard anything I said now, would you please wake that dude up, ma'am? And sir, would you punch your wife and kids be quiet? If you're talking or looking at your phone, quit. I want you to hear this, okay? If I am to be a witness, and I am, what do I say? Look back at our text, verse 15. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, the question begs, how do we see and how do we hear? Listen, I've talked folks. My wife says, I'm not going to let you get out and go in the store. I'll go because you get in there and find somebody to talk to. That's what I do for a living. I talk. Sometimes I realize I talk too much. Every once in a while I run into people that talk more than I do, and it wears me out. So I know I wear some of y'all out. I apologize in advance. How do we see and hear? Well, listen now. Are you listening? I ask that a lot. You only get to experience Jesus if you walk with him. You only get to see what your eyes are open to see. And the only way that you're going to hear and see is you got to walk with Christ. Jerry Harrell's sitting back there. Wave your hand, Jerry. There he is. Jerry Harrell and I went to school together in Cold Springs, Texas. I hadn't seen Jerry in a lot of years. till he and his sweet wife showed up to church here, and they showed up because his son Josh and his wife, who's the Clark's daughter, showed up going to church here. And all of a sudden, Jerry comes. And I remember Jerry, the first time I ever came, I kind of looked out the corner of my eye, and I thought, man, I know that dude. And in a few minutes, I realized it was Jerry Harrell. I went home that day. Jerry got out the old annual from Cold Springs. We had them back then. And I looked up Jerry's picture. And I looked up mine. I thought, how did he know me? See, I knew him and have known him all these years. Jerry and I both were pretty close to the same age. We're knocking on the door, 70. But listen, in the last few years, we've gotten to know each other again because they've been faithfully attending church. I knew him all these years. But now that we're together, now that I see him and his wife and his family on a regular basis, guess what? Now we have fellowship. Please have fellowship with Jesus. So many people know him, and they say, oh, I want to hear well done. Can I let you in on something? This cooksy theology, I hadn't done that today. Let me do it now. Unless you do well, he can't say well done. You say, well, I thought well done is just be saved. No, well done is working. Well done is doing what God has called you to do. Yeah. If you want to hear him say, well done, enter into the kingdom I prepared for you, then you got to be busy for the Lord. Amen. It's one thing to know him, and it's another thing to have a relationship with him.
Amen. That's right.
You only get to see what you experience, and you only get to hear what your eyes are open to. And those things that you hear and see that you got to have, what did he say? For you'll be my witness to all men, and you'll use what you have seen and what you have heard. The only way that you will see and hear is have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why some of y'all look at me, and some of y'all look at them hallelujah people, and you go, what's wrong with them folks? It may not be the wrong with me. It may be the wrong with you. Oh, are you calling me out? If the shoe fits, you got to wear it. There's a lot of folks who know Jesus. Saved, saved, saved. Mute, mute, mute. Wouldn't tell you for the world. We are called to be witnesses. Have a relationship with Christ. And you'll have something to say. Are you saying that because I don't witness, I don't have a relationship? Hearing and seeing comes through revelation by the Holy Spirit. You tap into the Holy Spirit as you walk with Jesus. A lot of folks got the Holy Spirit and they're scared of it. You think it's Casper the Ghost. It's not. It's Jesus. And he wants to communicate with you. John 16, 13. Remember Jesus said the Holy Spirit would come. And when he, Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you of things to come. People don't know what's coming. They're not seeing. They're not hearing. Because they're not in touch with the Holy Spirit of the living God. So, if we are to be witnesses, amen? Oh, I got to start over. If we're to be witnesses, amen. Then we absolutely, you know what I noticed? That's just folks that said it first time saying it louder. Some of y'all are still sitting on your tongue. If you won't say amen in church, chances are good you're not going to say anything about Jesus in Kroger or Walmart. You're going to talk about the folks at Walmart. But you're not going to say anything about Jesus.
Amen, that's right.
So, if we're going to be witnesses, got to know Jesus in order to know and recognize the Holy Spirit. Who will then lead us, according to Scripture, what Jesus said, in all truth. Truth is what you need if you're going to be a witness. Amen. And the Holy Spirit leads you there. If you're having trouble deciphering out the truth, then it may be that you're missing the Holy Spirit. Because according to what the Bible says, and I believe the Bible to you, then the Bible tells me that Jesus reveals the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit reveals the truth of Jesus to me. as we follow Jesus in the truth, and that truth revealed by the Holy Spirit, we will hear and see things we've never heard and seen before.
Yeah, that's right.
Have you experienced that? So many know Jesus that they don't have the right relationship with him. He wants to walk with you and talk with you and show you the way every day. But listen to me. You still listen. This part you got to hear now. Do I need to start over? Is everybody clear so far on the last point? I'm in trouble. I need to go back to preaching 101, Brother Cliff. Jesus wants to reveal the truth to you. But the only way you're going to hear truth is set your way aside for the way of Christ.
Amen.
Our way gets in the way so much. What I think I need and what I think I want, what I think. And God's got a whole other plan. So listen. Get related in relationship with Jesus. And you'll be amazed at what you'll see and what you'll hear. Then what you want to do, once you get that, is you want to tell everybody about it. Isn't it amazing everybody wants to bear bad news? My brother had been dead 2 days. Somebody called me and said, did you hear Glenn died? I thought, how did I miss that? People want to bear bad news. I've tried out. Boy, we hear something good, we just say, oh, well, that's good. Something bad, man. Hey, did you hear about old Reagan? He got locked up last night, carried him to jail. Then they printed in the newspaper. We're all interested in the bad. Let me challenge you. Be as interested in the good. And the good is Jesus. Be willing to tell the world around you about him. Then, let's consider this. I'm almost done. Stay with me. You may get out at noon. Tomorrow. Consider this. When is the time to witness? Take a look back at verse 16. Paul's telling the story again. Ananias has spoken. Ananias has told him, your eyes are going to be open. You'll be able to see. He's spoken to him. He's told us about that. And look what he says. And now, why are you waiting? What you waiting on? We can't hold our horses when it comes to bad news. We got the good news of Jesus Christ from trying to figure out ways not to sell it. What are we waiting on? Now, what are you waiting on, Paul? Now, what are you waiting on, Reagan? Now, what are you waiting on, Fred? Now, you put your name in there. What are you waiting on? If you know Jesus, for the sake of heaven, tell someone. Remember, Paul is telling this story, and it's a few years past it happening. And he's telling how God revealed himself through Ananias, and Ananias had told him the things I just mentioned. And the question that Paul is revealing, and it's directional as well. It's revealing about him. It's revealing about our call. It's directional for us. There's a question mark at the end of that in my Bible. And now, what are you waiting for? If we know that we're supposed to, then why wouldn't we? Now that you've heard and you've seen and you understand, what are you waiting for to tell the world about Jesus? The time to be a witness is now. Paul realized, I love this back in Acts chapter 9. I went back and reread it again. I started to preach that same sermon again. I love in Acts chapter 9 where Paul hears all this, and when he hears the things we've been talking about, just a few different words in there. When he hears all this, the Bible uses an interesting word. As soon as he heard, immediately, he got up and went.
Amen.
There were a few days in there lacking. As he was spending the night with some folks, probably getting the scales off his eyes completely. But he began to tell everybody he came into contact with about Jesus, and I think right to the very end, chained between guards, they were treating him like he had an I-60 that had been answered by the director. Some of y'all know what that means. They let him do what he wanted to do and say what he wanted to say, and he preached the gospel even in chains. Arise and be baptized. People say, well, what about that? Well, we'll talk about that again later, but listen. In other words, get your credentials in order. If you're going to tell somebody about Jesus, you've got to know that you know Jesus. If you're going to tell somebody about baptism, you've got to know that you've been baptized in believer's baptism. If you want to tell somebody about being a member of the church, be a member of the church. If you want to tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus, just experience him, and you'll have plenty to tell about Christ. Finally, somebody said, finally, some will say, but I'm afraid. I'm scared. I'm afraid to be a witness. Listen, to those who say this, I have good news for you. Stephanie Stroud, there is a witness protection plan. Any of y'all in that? Don't raise your hand. There's a witness protection plan that exists in this nation. Some of y'all might be in it. I don't know. Old Jamie over there, he may really be Fred. I don't know. But what you've done in this witness protection plan is you've turned witness against some strong and powerful people. And in order to protect you, your identity has changed. Your hair color, your hairstyle, maybe even have some plastic surgery nowadays. I mean, if I'm going to look good. Witness protection. Good news, there's a witness protection plan if you witness for God. You don't get plastic surgery, I'm sorry. You don't get new hair or no hair, but there is a witness protection plan. For those who say this good news that I have, I want to share it. There's a witness protection plan. Don't be a scaredy cat. Did y'all ever use that when you were kids? I hadn't used it in a long time, scaredy cat. You could call somebody an ignorant scaredy cat and get whooped in Oakhurst. Whipped, I'm sorry. Scaredy cat. Don't be a scaredy cat when it comes to sharing the gospel. There's a witness protection plan. You go ahead and be the witness that God has called you to be. Don't be scared of people. Don't be scared of the world. Don't be a scaredy cat. Just speak the name above all names, the name of Jesus. And the minute you let those words cross your lip, he's standing right beside you. Holy Spirit has got you. God the Father's holding you up. Go ahead and be a witness. Jesus said, take heart. I have overcome the world. Don't be scared of whatever's out there. Don't be scared of all the people that say it's okay to be this and be that. Don't be scared of the way the world is going. Just share Jesus. I'd a whole lot rather you die, me having told you the truth, than you die, me missing a chance. Speak that name, the name of Jesus. John 16:33, Jesus said this about the world. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Have you noticed? In the world, there's a little bit of discomfort from time to time. In the world, you will have tribulation. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, said, but be of good cheer. Keep a smile on your face. Be happy. I have overcome the world. So nothing in the world that is there now or will ever be, nothing that's here now, present, gone, past, I don't care, nothing can harm me when I'm with the Lord Jesus. Well, they may take your life. All they'll do is send me to heaven. Shoot me between eyes. I'm on my way out. Old body might fall, and you may gather up. Would y'all please, a bunch of you gather up and cry and snot around me? But I'll be in heaven. Lean on Joshua 1:5. Here's the witness protection plan. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be right there beside you. Joshua 1:5. So that's way back in the Old Testament. I know. But it's all good. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. Now, preacher, are you daring to insinuate that God will be with me like he was with Moses? I'm daring to insinuate that God will be with you like he was with Moses. Are you saying that he'll be with me like he was with Joshua? I'm saying to you that as he was with Moses, as he was with Joshua, as he was through any name, Gideon, you put a name in there. I don't care. John the Baptist, you put a name in there. Whoever you put there, I'm telling you, Jesus will be with you. God said, I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Come what may, God will be with you. There is a name, highly exalted name, that at that name, the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess of things in heaven, things on earth, and things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Amen. Let me tell you something. That's what this book says, and that is what's going to happen. Be a witness. Now, listen closely. Here's one more point I want you to get. You said, I thought you said final. That was kind of final, final. This is final. Love people. You don't have to love their sin. You don't have to side with their sin and say, that's okay, but. No, it's not okay. Love people. Love their soul. Love their soul. Dare to tell them about Jesus, because the soul is what has to change. The soul has to come to an abrupt stop and change. Love people. Love their soul. Show them. Show them the love of God as you witness to them. I grew up in the country. You probably said, oh, I thought you'd been to finishing school. No. I grew up in the country. My mother used to say this to me all the time, and I swanny, that's another country word. I swanny, I didn't understand it then. But the older I get, the more I understand it. Especially in this profession that God has put me in. I said profession. Every one of you are professional witnesses. Did you know that? That's my profession. I'm a professional witness. Got the gift of gab, and I can exercise that right. My license says so. My mother used to say this. Be careful. You'll catch more flies with honey than you will with vinegar. So when I, my Lord, you was doing so good, what's that have to do with anything? Don't get in their face and say, hey, you're going to go to hell. You get it? Put a little honey out there. Show them the love of God. Show them, God, tell them how God changed you. And then say, and by the way, if you don't know Jesus, you're going to hell. If you go into the bar tonight, I better not catch you. If you go in the bar tonight, don't walk in there and say, I got news for y'all. You're all going to hell. You might be prophetic in saying that, but you'll do a lot better if you'll just wait outside the door. One time me and Vicky went down there to the joint by McKenzie's. Shenanigans? You and Vicky? We never went in. We sat in the parking lot. Took Sunday school roll. Be a witness. Share the love of God. Reel them in. Get the hook in their mouth. Tell them. If you got Jesus, you're good. If you don't have him, you're going to hell. Father, I love you and I praise you, God, for the opportunity to be in this place. God, thank you for once again showing up, showing out, God, and doing the things you desire to do. Thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for using me again to speak your word, God. And I pray now, God, that the word that's been spoken will fall on ears and hearts that will hear and make application. Some in this very building today, Lord, lost and without Jesus, who need desperately to come to Christ. They know about witnessing, Father, because they don't have a relationship with you, and they need to establish that relationship through Christ, through his blood. There's some in this building, God, that are distant from you, drawn away by things of the world. They've lived in fear of telling anybody about Jesus. God, I pray right now you'd speak to their hearts, and they would make a commitment to you, Lord, not to me, not to this church, but to you, to be a witness. And Lord, some need to come be a part of this church. That would be a witness today. Some need to come and spend time in these altars, a witness today. Father, would you take this invitation And do with it, please, God, do with it as you see fit. In that precious holy name, the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Would you stand with me? As we stand together, would you come as God might lead you?